It's time to get strong, fit, and resilient. Welcome to the Fear Being Average podcast with your host, Brandon Rinka, where Brandon shares insights, practices, and education on leveling up how you look, feel, and perform. Say goodbye to complacency and get ready to kick the door into a new standard of living.
Okay, so just like not all superheroes wear capes, not all great podcasts have to go all that long. And today might be one of those episodes. I'm not looking to be long-winded, but, you know, knowing me, that could lead into that. But we're going to keep it simple. We're going to keep it very concise and direct to give you the pointers you're looking for. So with this episode, we're looking at three ways, three of the kind of like I've done a lot of homework on this throughout my probably last decade especially, where I've really harnessed a lot of time into personal growth and trying to understand human psychology and human behavior a little bit more, and obviously create a lot of success in my life and happiness, because obviously success can be relatively subjective. There's not an objective way of creating success because everyone's success looks different, right? It could be someone who wants to have a, you know, wonderful family and, you know, a healthy, loving partner and, you know, a 9-to-5 job that they can come home to stress-free. For other people, it's, you know, doing crazy adventures and challenges and seeing the world. So, you know, it's obviously going to look different for a lot of different people. But the same principles go back to what success can kind of look like in terms of you being happy, right? You thriving, you being fulfilled, and having a life that you're satisfied with, that is full of connection and passion and purpose, right? That's basically what it kind of comes down to. And you're not distracting yourself from what needs to get done, and you're really harnessing your true value. So this has been something I've really I always take to heart, and I love the idea of giving people, you know, timbits on how to actually just, you know, apply certain information that will expedite the process of personal growth. So with this episode being three ways to alter the course of your life, I truly believe listening to some of the best minds in the world, you know, be it Dale Carnegie or Tony Robbins or Jim Rohn, you know, Gary Vee, I'll even throw into that category, to the Joe Rogans of the world, just very logical individuals, very successful individuals. And again, they're people that I admire. I've listened to Les Brown is actually another one that if you've never listened to him talk, I really suggest it. Recommend. He's very passionate, especially when he was in his prime speaking days. Just, you know, check out on Les Brown on YouTube. But all those guys are just phenomenal at directing people to greater success and greater levels of well-being, overall improving quality of life, right? So I've learned a lot from them, then obviously in my own experiences of application and anecdotal successes, right? And, you know, actually sitting down across from thousands of people, and that's not an exaggeration, you know, being in the fitness consulting business for as long as I've been in, you know, I had opportunities to sit across from people, in front of people, you know, 6 to 10 people a day for over 3 to 4 years, and then be in a direct marketing business where I was consistently trying to motivate and lead people to, you know, create the life that they were passionate about. They were all, you know, doing the job to be business owners and to run their own company and lead others. And it was constantly, you know, daily motivation, daily inspiration on habits and behaviors and choices and rituals that would allow them to create more success professionally and in their life as well. So learned a lot through my experiences, through what I've listened to, and I've made this a daily practice. So let's jump into it. So first one, feeding the mind. This is one habit, one way where if you apply this strategy to feed your mind every single day, you will genuinely alter the course of your life. For a lot of people that you find, you know, floundering in life, maybe they're under a lot of stress, they feel like they're in a rut, they haven't been able to create or generate a lot of success in their life. Typically, it comes down to programming, and perhaps that's past programming, but also a lot of present programming, right? They are absorbing and consuming a lot of information that is built around fear, built around negativity, built around self-doubt, and they're consuming this stuff, unknowingly programming their mind to actually think this way. So they're almost paralyzed to take action. They're paralyzed to make change and adjust their behaviors because they're not getting information that is empowering, right? They're getting information that is rather disempowering. I think that's a lot of what society is pushing, right? They don't want a lot of independent free thinkers that can, you know, think on their own and act on their own. They want a lot of mindless sheep out there. And that's just the reality of it. You see, that's what they're doing in the school system. That's what they're promoting through the big media outlets. They want people to follow suit, you know, follow what we're telling you to do. Because at the end of the day, when you start having people critically think and analyze situations, that can actually go in direct conflict of a narrative certain companies or a government is pushing, right? And that's why, you know, we live in a very free democracy, right? Is to have that conversation, to have open dialogue and to challenge the narrative, especially if it doesn't make sense. And that's why we don't live in a communist country, right? I don't think a lot of people from China are listening to my podcast. If you are from China listening to this, hit me up. I would love to hear your take on communism, and I'm sure you're not a big fan of it. So feeding the mind, it allows us to see things differently, right? Rather than just go about life in a manner where we're being directed to follow a certain path that doesn't promote fulfillment, doesn't promote independence, doesn't promote wealth, doesn't promote genuine happiness and success, and is going really in the opposite of all those characteristics, right? So when you go out and you actively feed your mind, whether that be through reading, joining communities that educate you, whether it's listening to podcasts, listening and watching YouTube videos, doing stuff that you're in control of and that is inspiring, that's motivating, that's giving you ambition, or, you know, pushing you to strive for better, right? Personal growth, information, and knowledge. That's what you want to feed your mind with, not the stuff that scares you to take action, not the stuff that scares you to challenge the narrative or challenge who you are, right? You want to feed your mind with information and insight and knowledge that is actually allowing you to become a more confident, resourceful, capable version of yourself, a stronger version of yourself, right? An actual empowered version of yourself where you go, wow, I have strategies. I have insights from the industry's very best telling me how to break through, how to adjust my life to actually create a life I'm happy with. Not that I have to go through life because I feel stuck or I feel like I have no way out. This is what feeding the mind does. It actually opens up the conversation between you and yourself, and you go, wow, there's a different way to look at this thing. I'm not stuck. I don't have to live this life, right? And there's a lot of opportunities. And now, you know, if you're listening to the right stuff, they will give you strategies, right? They will give you the insight and the knowledge and the takeaways you need to apply it. But at the end of the day, you need to apply it. So feeding your mind is only one of the aspects, right? But it's a big aspect because, again, if you have all this self-doubt and you're constantly questioning whether you can either A, you know, change your life, and B, that you deserve to change your life, if those are constant lingering, you're not going to do anything, right? Those are two really big components to keeping you stagnant and complacent. So we want to address that. We want to find ways to challenge your current way of thinking. That way, you're constantly thinking in a state of, I can do it if I put my mind to it. You want to have a growth mindset, and that's what feeding your mind does. It literally gives you the tools. It gives you the blueprint. It gives you the path to success. Now, how I like to do this, personally, I like to feed my mind financially. I like to learn about things from a financial wealth standpoint. So for me, I like to read. My podcast that I listen to typically is built around personal growth or fitness. You know, fitness is kind of the go-to one. I have a podcast, Mind Pump podcast that I listen to, entertaining, but also there are fitness and health podcasts as well. And those things tie into happiness and fulfillment and success as well. In terms of, you know, me learning about finances is typically done through books, Same thing with, you know, mindset will be done through YouTube, right? I'll listen to guys like Tony Robbins and Jim Rohn's and the Gary V's of the world that give me direction, they give me insight, they're giving me legit courses and webinars or seminars, sorry, and conferences, or at least bits and pieces of their conferences, you know, right online for you to listen to. And you can do that while you're driving to work, you can do that while you're cooking, when you wake up. I would definitely suggest when you wake up to listen to something positive and inspiring and motivating to get kind of set the tone for the day, put you in a really growth-oriented state. Then I also like to learn about the body, right? Kind of understand more about the connection between the foods we eat in our body, the foods we eat in our mind, and really kind of understand that. And I'll also try to take a dive into mindset. I love understanding how to, you know, adjust our habits and why human behavior is set in such a way and what we need to do to actually change human behavior. So yeah, do that, right? Things that are literally very transferable, right? Your finances are a big part of your success and happiness and overall contentment in life. Obviously, personal growth, mindset, fitness, health, and body. Feed your mind with stuff like that and try to avoid the news. Try to avoid throwing the 6 o'clock news on, right? Try to avoid jumping on social media where you're probably going to get 80% of shit that's not really valuable or useful to you, isn't really growth-oriented, and program and, you know, set up your rituals where you're going to be getting the information that your mind needs to thrive. Not stuff to distract you, not stuff to make you feel better than now, not stuff just to mindlessly consume, but things that actually force you to engage and interact with. And you'll notice as soon as you do that, your state will change. You will go from a demotivated, complacent state to a state of yes, to a state of I can do this, to a state of confidence and capability and truly empowerment. And it's crazy how fast it works. Every time I read a book on something, the amount of engagement and motivation and opportunities that I see from reading this book, right? Like there's this typical thing when you buy a new car, for example, and all of a sudden you start seeing that car everywhere. Same thing when you read something on building wealth or changing your body, you start seeing way more opportunities to do that. You might all of a sudden see, oh my God, a coach just came up talking about changing their body, and they're saying the exact same thing that the book is saying. Oh my God, this is a sign, right? Or you might see opportunities to invest or make more money or switch jobs or whatever, but you'll typically start seeing things like that come to fruition because you're feeding your mind with stuff that you were just ignoring before with useless, mindless content. Okay, guys, number two, nurture your health and body daily. Now, this is a daily practice. This is one of the reasons I created, you know, my brand, Brandon Rinka 365. It was based on the premise of a 365-day challenge I did, obviously. Well, not obviously, but if you do know me, that's what it was based off of. So I did a challenge where every single day I engaged in a physical pursuit, and every month was a particular physical pursuit. So I would focus on a month of powerlifting, a month of Ironman training, a month of yoga, a month of kickboxing, a month of ultramarathon prep, swimming, and then every day I would actually structure a workout to get better at that particular modality. It was a fun year, right? I was able to do a lot of crazy stuff, a lot of firsts for me, but it was a very busy, but very fulfilling and satisfying year because I was able to do so much, so many different things, experience a lot. It was an incredible, you know, 365 days. But also going off that, I truly believe that the body should be moving in a, you know, progressive, intentional manner 365 days a year. There shouldn't be a day where we say we're just going to hang it up and be lazy today. That doesn't mean there's days that won't happen, you know, spontaneously where you kind of just need a day, but I would still challenge that. I just read something talking about the days that you really feel like you should, yes, it was with a professor of happiness, sorry, from Harvard University. And he was talking about Arthur Brooks. He teaches a happiness course at Harvard. And he was talking about when you get into that state where all you want to do that day is, you know, eat a pint of ice cream and curl up under the blankets and just binge watch your favorite Netflix show all day long and not take care of your health and, you know, just do whatever you feel like because you're sad or depressed or anxious. Those are the days that's even more important to do the opposite, right? To go outside, get fresh air, get into nature, move your body, create circulation, do something challenging, do something progressive that gets you out of that rut, not feed into that rut, right? So for me, I truly believe that every single day is an opportunity to get out there, strengthen your body, strengthen your will, strengthen your resiliency and durability and your immune system, and improve on the person that you want to be, right? For me, I've never really had a bad workout. That doesn't mean I haven't had better workouts and great workouts, but I've never gone to the gym and regretted that decision, going, oh my God, I should have just stayed in bed today. It's like, no, every time I get up, and maybe that's pulling or pushing myself out of the house to go to the gym or go outside, go for that run, do the thing I didn't really want to do, I always leave feeling better. Now, obviously, we know there is a, you know, released chemical reaction after you exercise, right? We have those neurotransmitters like serotonin and dopamine and a slight release of cortisol that gives us that kind of adrenaline feel as well. And so we're naturally getting feel-good hormones released after we exercise. So we're naturally going to feel that. But more so, after those neurotransmitters subside, you still feel good about taking action. You feel like you did something that you know you should have done, right? And you didn't succumb to doing the thing you wanted to do but wasn't actually going to improve your state. So every single day, find an opportunity, program this, schedule it, put it in the day that you're gonna do something for your health. Now, traditionally, I suggest 2 to 4 days a week of strength training. And then the other days, I just did a post on Instagram about this on how to program rest days, but you would throw in something for your heart health or your cardiovascular health, right? Those are obviously synonymous with each other. So I do some conditioning work, or you could do some gymnastics or mobility, or you can play a sport, or you can go for a swim. And I also talked about going outside and having unscheduled structured recovery days where you do something fun, right? Like you do play a sport, or you go for a hike, or you go to the beach, and you just get outside and you do something where your body's moving, right? I think it's so damn important that if you just do this every single day, not only is it great for your body and mind in the day, but it creates a habit. These people that only work out 2 to 3 days a week because they quote unquote have to, because they know it's good for them, God bless you. You're at least doing 2 to 3 days a week. I commend you. However, this isn't building a habit. You still have programmed yourself to look at fitness as a chore. Fitness as something that you're being punished to do, and you can't wait for the days that you don't have to move your body and actually exercise. Well, that is an unhealthy relationship with exercise, with training, with working out. What you need to get into is this reframe of how you look at movement, how you look at exercise, how you look at training your body, and see it as an opportunity to get stronger, an opportunity to thrive, an opportunity to improve your emotional, your physical, your spiritual, your mental state, and to see it and be excited about that because you know how good it is for you. You understand the consequences of not doing that, and you also understand the positive ramifications of when you do that. Your body feels a lot better, right? It's optimized at that point. So we need to get it in a place where we make this a daily habit, because if you make it as consistent as going to sleep or brushing your teeth or showering or eating, it will become habitual. It's only a matter of time. And for a lot of people like myself, yeah, I love the physical benefits of working out, whether that be a faster metabolism, having my body look stronger, being more functional, having higher levels of performance and speed. But primarily, it comes down to, because I could go to the gym once or twice a week and maintain how my physique looks right now. It's really not that hard because I've done a good job of building my body up to a certain point, that it's a lot easier to actually maintain that muscle mass once you have it, which is a great thing. Another really good benefit of strength training, right? You have to do like 1/7 of the volume to maintain most of your gains, which is amazing if you really break it down. But primarily for me, it's more so the mental stimulation I get from working out, right? And understanding that I'm doing something that is assisting in my quality of life, assisting in my longevity, you know, assisting and aiding in my overall health span in life. Meaning I'm going to be a thriving 40-year-old, a thriving 50-year-old, a thriving 60, 70, 80-year-old, right? I'm not going to be someone who is dependent on other people or can't move and I feel like the age is catching up to me. Like, I don't want to be that person. So, you know, for me, it's knowing I'm doing all these things and mentally it's making me feel better. It's making me feel like I'm doing the right thing, and it has given me this sense of appreciation and self-confidence, knowing that I'm actually nurturing and caring for my health. Because we've gone in this place where we're pushing self-acceptance so much, which is great to a certain degree, but it's definitely misguided, because this push and overcorrection of blind self-acceptance is preventing people from actually taking action to do things that show a dramatic chemical response in how your brain functions and how your body functions. And people are now taking acceptance too far, meaning that, hey, we're not gonna do anything about our body because we love our body the way it is. Ironically, while these individuals are taking antidepressants, feel like shit every day, have gut issues, have skin issues, have hair issues, have pain, like, they don't connect the two, because the people that are promoting this have no idea what it feels like to actually be healthy and be thriving. And we'd rather make people, you know, live in this echo chamber of safety and comfort rather than actually hone in on what you can do for yourself, create genuine empowerment, and actually improve your quality of life. And that's the problem right now. So what we gotta do is we need to get out, we need to nurture our health and body every single day, and that's with the foods we eat too, right? We can't be these people that, you know, eat pretty good 4 or 5 days a week and we just go on a bender on the weekend. Let's try to avoid that. You want to live in a balanced manner. Like, I still eat desserts from time to time, right? I still can go out and have some pizza and do what I want, have a burger at a restaurant. I'm not restrictive. I'm not counting the amount of almonds I have in my bowl at home, right? And I'm able to do that because I have a healthy relationship. I don't look at food as, you know, just nourishment, right? I understand that there's some aspect of taste to it, but I also don't look at food as just taste or just pleasure, right? I'm not hedonistic around that relationship with food. And I actually see food as fuel. I see food as something that does nourish me and allows my joints to function optimally, allows my body to build up and recover optimally, and have my body and my gut feel great. You know, I have that relationship with food, and this is the importance of it. It allows me to sleep better. It helps me reduce stress and potential bouts of anxiety. I don't suffer from that. For a lot of people, food does have a direct correlation on their anxiety and their depression and other mental health issues. So it's just so important that every single day we nurture this relationship, we reframe it. That does take time, but by feeding your mind with the right material, like we talked about in point number one, it'll be a lot easier to make the logical, healthy decision like nurturing your body every single day. And number three, schedule and structure. So damn important that we actually create, for one, a structure that we like. Right, we don't want to force feed a routine that, for one, we can't adhere to, and two, that we don't like. Like, it doesn't make sense when people make this massive overcorrection of, well, I've been on the couch for the last 5 years, and all of a sudden now I'm going to do 7 days a week of intense cardiovascular training. Like, okay, that's not going to work for you. That's a recipe to fail, obviously, right? And you know, or you're going to be pushing yourself to that as like a punishment because you deserve it because you've let yourself go over the last 5 years. Like, you want to put together a schedule and structure that you enjoy, that you look at and you go, okay, it's not completely, not, it can't be everything is based around, well, I enjoy playing video games, I enjoy, you know, watching my favorite Netflix show for 2 hours, I enjoy eating ice cream and ordering pizza every single day, so I'm going to do it because Brandon said, enjoy the life I have. No, right? We want to create a schedule and structure that kind of combines the two. It's something that you're looking forward to, because you've reframed how you're looking at eating healthy or working out, but also something that you can adhere to, meaning that it's practical and it's sustainable, right? It can be, rather than saying I'm going to read for an hour tomorrow, I'm going to read for 10 minutes, right? Rather than saying I'm going to work out for an hour and a half tomorrow, I'm going to work out and exercise for 20 to 30 minutes every single day. Right? I'm going to start off my day by getting outside from nature for 5 minutes, or I'm going to do 3 to 5 minutes of breath work, or maybe I'll just do 10 deep breaths to center myself in the morning, right? You got to find these different ways of actually creating a positive structure in life and then scheduling that out, right? Don't just show up in the morning and hope you get it done. Like, when are you going to read? When are you going to go for that walk? When are you going to work out? When are you going to eat those meals? What do those meals look like? You know, what book are you reading? What podcast are you listening to? What time of day are you doing these things? You want to know that, because if you don't, time goes fast within a day, especially if you don't prioritize those habits. Because the last thing you want to do at 8 p.m., if you haven't done any of those, is do all of them, right? There's no way you're going to comply with going to the gym, getting outside, meditating for a few minutes, reading, writing, prepping food for tomorrow when you have an hour and a half left in your day before you got to go to bed. And if we prioritize the shit in the day, it's going to neglect the good. So we need to schedule this out. When do you have free time? What time do you need to make in order to get that done, right? Do you need to get up half an hour earlier? Do you need to go directly from work to the gym to make sure you don't come home and then have to convince yourself to go to the gym again? Like, what do you need to do to make that schedule something you can stick to, something that is ritualized, and something that is easy, like I said, to comply to, something that is sustainable, something that is practical, and something that you look at and you're not dreading the day completely? And we want to start using these baby steps off the bat, right? We want to do something that you look at and go, okay, I can manage this. I can handle this sort of structure. It doesn't feel like a punishment. It doesn't feel like something that is, you know, completely outside of who I am and what I want to do. But at the same time, we have to understand and realize that making change is never easy, right? If you've had certain behaviors or rituals that you've adhered to for the last 3 or 10 years, for example, to introduce new behaviors and new habits is going to be a bit of a shock to your system. And that's why I don't suggest doing everything at once, nor do I suggest doing a lot of one thing at once, right? I suggest taking tiny steps, making some mindful decisions, and then reframing the connection or relationship you have to these things, right? And I think that's why I always like to go back to feeding your mind, because feeding your mind, you're hearing the same messaging in a different manner, in a different perspective from different world leaders, industry leaders, experts on success and happiness and wealth. And they're giving you principles that you can live by, right? And they're constantly having that conversation with you. You're basically outsourcing a mentor via YouTube or via a book or a podcast. And that's how I see it, right? And there will be mentors in my life that I have that I actually converse with. And then there's other mentors like the people I talked about that I learn from, that they help guide me. They help, you know, keep me consistent. They help keep me on path, because I'm constantly hearing the right messaging. I'm constantly being reminded of what it takes to live a healthy life. And this is why I'm also a big proponent, if you can join a community. It doesn't have to be my BR365 community. I have a lot of options that you can join into that allows us to be connected and allows you to kind of follow through on the person that you want to be. And I do my very best to give people, you know, these daily at least weekly engagements where you can actually think in a growth-oriented manner. But whatever it is, you know, find something that works for you where you're consistently hearing the right sort of messaging. Because if you're not doing that, it's only a matter of time that you hear shit that's not in line with what you want to do, because 90% of the world is doing that, right? The majority of the conversations that you have aren't going to be built around growth, aren't going to be built around personal development, aren't going to be built around wealth and success and happiness. It's going to be the opposite of that. You're going to hear a lot of complaining. You're going to hear a lot of excuses. You're going to hear a lot of self-doubt. You're going to hear a lot of why nots. And that's just the way of the world. So you need to take control of that. You need to adjust and you need to control your environment to hear the opposing message of what the large narrative of society is. So that takes time, but I tell you, if you do the three steps here of feeding your mind every single day and being conscious of what your mind is consuming, nurturing your body and health daily, and then scheduling this out and structuring a routine, you will definitely alter the course of your life. And be patient with that, because when I say that, it doesn't happen overnight, doesn't happen in a week, doesn't happen in a month. Yes, you will see progress. Yes, you will see things change and you will see new opportunities arise. But be patient with it. Let these things sink in. And I'm telling you, if you want to truly alter the course of your life, keep doing it as consistently as you can. You'll notice major changes happen in your life 6 months from now, 12 months from now, 3 to 5 years from now. And to me, that's inspiring, that's motivating, that's empowering, knowing that you have complete control of what your life looks like year from now, 3 years from now, a decade from now. Very cool. So guys, hope you enjoyed this podcast today. We will obviously see you on the next episode of the Fear Being Average podcast. Thank you for listening and have a great night.